Please don't let the title of the sermon scare you. but it's something that I've been praying about and thinking about for a long time. So this morning, with Marius being in the UK, he's asked me to preach, and I'll preach next week, Sunday again. So this sermon actually fits into a small series. I'll tell you how it links up with the one that I preached a while ago. This would be number two, and then number three would be next week. In essence, it's all about following Jesus and to hear his voice and to know who he is and what he says and how does that apply to each one of our lives. So I'd just like to pray again, and then we'll get into the sermon. Father God, I just commit this moment to you. Thank you for the privilege that we have to be together. And I pray that your word would do a work in our hearts this morning, and that your word will speak into each heart. Come and teach us your ways, Father God. Teach us how to hear your voice, how to distinguish it from other voices, and to keep on following you. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So this morning there's two pictures that you can get into your mind. And the first one is regarding following Jesus, with Jesus being the good shepherd and we being a bunch of sheep walking behind him. You can see that picture of Jesus walking in front and where his herd of sheep walking behind him. So in the other picture that I want to have you get into your mind is a buffet full of food. Everything from starters to mains to desserts. Okay, so everything is available there. From all the sweet stuff, the nice stuff, the things you shouldn't have too much of, the things that you really need, some steak, vegetables, pasta for Yanni, starters, have that in mind. We'll get to that as well. With regards to the previous sermon, you could maybe go to the next, that slide, yes. So the essence of what I shared last time was, if the vision is too clear, we cling too closely. I was having a conversation with a friend, and while we were talking, we came upon this realization. Many times we hear something from the Lord, and it's for our lives. He tells us something that's going to happen, or something that is destined for you, and then we take it, and then we color in the whole picture ourselves. But then we add our own things into that picture, and in the end, when that thing happens, we are disappointed, because this doesn't look like what I imagined. And I shared some stories from my own life where I had done that, where I had heard something from the Lord, or someone shared something with me, or I had a word or a prophecy about something in my life, and it was confirmed by other people as well, and in the end it didn't play out as I saw it coming. So then the picture that we had was never even the picture that God had in the first place. So what the sermon was all about was basically saying, stay open to what God is saying to you, and don't color it in on your own. And if you do color, only color as he is instructing you to color in. And then be open to see how the plan unfolds, because it's usually better the way that it unfolds than what you planned. Okay, so have patience, let God unfold your life for you. And also don't try to get ahead of God. Don't try to anticipate where he's going and what he's doing and then getting there. This is not rugby. You don't need to run into the open space. You need to wait for God to tell you what to do next. We are sheep in his pen, in his fold. We're following him. And we'll speak about this a little bit more next week, but also when me and my friend were discussing following Jesus, if you have this picture of Jesus walking ahead of you and there's a bunch of sheep walking with you, you're walking behind him, you're following him, then you can hear his voice and you listen to his voice and you just go where he goes. But you also have the sheep next to you to help you along the way, the people around you, to help you make sense of where you're going, to help you make sense of where all of us are going and what's happening. And we're all following the same person, and the person is Jesus. But we'll speak about that in more detail next week. So it is absolutely crucial that we keep on hearing God's voice and being part of his flock, part of his fold. Okay, so now over to the buffet. So you can go skip on two slides. So with regards to hearing God's voice, it's been on my heart for a long time, for many years. It affects me greatly if I see people are misled by other people who claim to be leaders in the church, who claim to be prophets in the church. And as I was reading through the Bible, I couldn't help but notice some trends in the Old Testament that is in line with things that we see today, where people are being told what to do by leaders in the church, and they're saying they're hearing the word of God, so this is the word of God for you, now you should do as I'm saying. And they lead these people, but they lead them astray. And false prophecy and people being deceived is not something that happened way back in the Old Testament and New Testament only. It's still happening today. And it breaks my heart because people get involved in it and they follow other people. It's as if Jesus is walking in front, but now the sheep come and arrange themselves and say, okay, so I'm going to be the one that walking in front of you, so you listen to me. And then you tell the guy behind you, then he should listen to you, because you should follow like in a little trainkie, make a train. And I think that's how sheep get lost, because they start listening only to the sheep in front of them and stop listening to Jesus. Stop listening to the one that's in the front, that's actually leading the way. So, and false prophecy is many times a part of this, where people give a word as if it is from God, but it is not from God. And then people get hurt. Sheep get injured. Sheep get lost. Because they are following another sheep. They're not following Jesus. And they're following the words of another sheep. And they're not connected to Jesus. All of us are supposed to be connected to Jesus directly. But we have the help of other sheep as well. And we have the help of leaders as well. And they do have a responsibility to watch over us. The Bible is very clear about that. And the disciples wrote about that. And in the New Testament, it's there. There are leaders that are provided to lead us. And Marius and Gerda are the leaders of this specific group of people. But we are all still following Jesus, and they have a responsibility towards us and towards the Lord, for we are entrusted to their care. Jesus spoke to Peter and he told him, feed my lambs, tend to my sheep. So there's definitely a role for leadership, but we cannot substitute Jesus with leaders. We can never do that. So we're going to read two stories from the Old Testament. So just be vigilant and listen to what pops up in the story regarding false prophecy, hearing from the Lord, and so forth. It's going to be two stories, and then we'll look at them. I have just a small excerpt from one of the stories here, Jeremiah 14 from verse 11. But you can go to Jeremiah 14. We will start at verse 11. And then you can also go to the 1 Kings chapter 22. Okay. So while you get there, you can decide if you want to do both, but Jeremiah 14 and 1 Kings chapter 22. So while you're getting there, we have prophets in the Old Testament. and prophets in the New Testament and prophets after that. So prophecy is not something that stopped at the end of the New Testament. It's not something that stopped at the end of the Old Testament. It's still with us today. And God has appointed prophets in that time, in the New Testament, and today. But there are also people who have appointed themselves as prophets in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and today. So we need to be vigilant of that, because many times people who act as prophets and say that they are prophets, some of the things that they do say are accurate and it is true. But then it's difficult to distinguish if it's not the word of the Lord. So we're going to look at that. That is where guarding against false prophecy comes in. We're going to read from Jeremiah 14 from verse 11. I'm going to read the full story, or a big part of the story, that we can get the context as well. The Lord said to me, that's now to Jeremiah, "Do not pray for the welfare of this people. Though they fast, I will not hear their cry. And though they offer burnt offering and grain offering, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword, by famine, by pestilence." Then I said, "Oh Lord, behold, the prophets say to them, 'You shall not see the sword, nor shall you see famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place.'" So that's the words of the false prophets. And the Lord said to me, "The prophets are prophesying lies in my name. I did not send them. I did not command them to speak. They are prophesying to you a lying vision, worthless divination, and the deceit of their own minds. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who prophesy in my name, although I didn't send them, and who say, 'Sword and famine shall not come upon this land.' By sword and by famine those prophets shall be consumed, and the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem, victims of famine and sword, with none to bury them, them, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, for I will pour out evil upon them. You shall say to them this word, 'Let my eyes run down with tears day and night, and let them not cease, for the virgin daughter of my people is shattered with a great wound, with a very grievous blow. If I go out in the field, behold, those pierced by the sword, and if I enter the city, behold, the deceased of the famine. For both prophet and priest ply their trade through the land, and they have no knowledge. Have you uttered rejection, Judah? Does your soul loathe Zion? Why have you struck us down, so that there is no healing for us? We worked for peace, but no good came. For a time of healing, but behold, terror. We acknowledged our wickedness, O Lord, and the iniquity of our fathers, for we have sinned against you. Do not spurn us for your name's sake. Do not dishonor your glorious throne. Remember and do not break your covenant with us. Are there any among the false gods of whom the nations can bring rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Are you not he, the Lord our God? We set our hope on you, for you do all these things." Then the Lord said to me, "Though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my heart would not turn towards this people. Send them out of my sight and let them go. And when they ask you, 'Where shall we go?' you shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord, those who are for pestilence, to pestilence, and those who are for the sword, to the sword, and those who are for famine, to famine, and those who are for captivity, for captivity.'" I'm just going to read up to there. So it's a very harsh word that the prophet is receiving from God about Israel and about the false prophets and about the whole situation. And you can hear the people pleading in this piece of scripture, saying, "God, we repent, we want to turn back to you, we're sorry." He says, "I'm not hearing you now. I'm going to execute what I said." While the prophets of Israel said, no, no harm is going to come your way. The sword is not going to come your way. Only good things are coming your way. And then there's this one prophet, Jeremiah, who's saying these harsh words, the words of God. And it's as if the people are listening to him, but then it's too late. It's too late for the people to turn away. And we know the story. They are exiled. They are taken to Babylon. They do suffer. They are struck with the sword. They are struck with famine. So the word that Jeremiah gave was true. It came to pass. It was correct. But it was not nice. Now that's there where this picture of the buffet comes in. It's as if the false prophets only wanted to present to the people, to feed them with what is nice, what is good, what is enjoyable. And if someone would come and offer some real food, to say, turn back and repent. And then they say, no, 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 that's not applicable. That's not from the Lord. The Lord wouldn't say these things. You know the Lord. You know his character. That's not how he is. So the people were never taught how to eat from everything that came from the word of the Lord. They were softened by nice words and good words the whole time. So let's read the second story, see if we have some parallels there. 1 Kings chapter 22. We're going to start from verse 1. The title here is Ahab and the False Prophets. For 3 years, Syria and Israel continued without war. But in the third year, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said to his servants, why do you know that Ramoth Gilead belongs to us, and we keep quiet, and we do not take it out of the hand of the king of Syria? And he said to Jehoshaphat, will you go with me to battle at Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, as I am as you are, my people is as your people, my horses are your horses. So the king of Israel and the king of Judah, they want to combine to fight against the king of Syria for this one specific town. And they say they're going to do it together. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, and Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, inquire first for the word of the Lord. So the king of Judah said, Ahab, I don't want to go into war. My people are with you, but we should first hear from the Lord what he's saying about this. So then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400, and said to them, shall we go to battle against Ramoth Gilead, or shall we refrain? And they said, go up, for the Lord will give it to your hand. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here any other prophet of the Lord of whom we may inquire? So the king of Judah is picking up that these 400 prophets may not be speaking the truth here. Is there not someone else? There is one man by whom we inquire of the Lord, Micaiah, the son of Imla, but I hate him. For he never prophesies good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel summoned an officer and said, bring quickly Micaiah, the son of Imla. Now the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, were sitting on their thrones, arrayed in their robes, at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets were prophesying before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenana, made for himself horns of iron and said, thus says the Lord, with these you shall push the Syrians until they are destroyed. And all the prophets prophesied so and said, go to Ramoth Gilead and triumph. The Lord will give it into the hand of the king. And the messenger went to summon Micaiah and said to him, behold, the words of the prophets with one accord are favorable to the king. Let your word be like one of them and speak favorably. So the messenger is coming to the prophet and saying, Everyone else is prophesying good stuff. Don't come and say bad stuff, say good stuff. Okay. But Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, what the Lord says to me, that I will speak. And when he had come to the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we refrain? And he answered him, go up and triumph, the Lord will give it into the hand of the king. But the king said to him, how many times shall I make you swear that you speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? And he said, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains. Now, so I think he probably said it sarcastically the first time. Just go up, have a nice time, go into battle, enjoy it. I say what they say. Now he says the following. Where are we now?
Verse 6.
17. I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his home in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you he would prophesy, he will not prophesy good to me, but evil? And Micaiah said, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing beside him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who will entice Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said one thing, and another said another. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord, saying, I will entice him. And the Lord said to him, by what means? And he said, I will go out, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, you are to entice him, and you shall succeed. Go out and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets. The Lord has declared disaster for you. Then Zedekiah, the son of Chinana, came near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, how did the spirit of the Lord go from me and speak to you? And Micaiah said, behold, you shall see on that day when you go into an inner chamber to hide yourself. And the king of Israel said, seize Micaiah and take him back to Ammon, the governor of the city, to the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son. Thus says the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him meager rations of bread and water until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, if you return in peace, the Lord has not spoken to me. He said, hear all you peoples. So part of this prophecy was Micaiah saying that the king of King Ahab will die in this specific battle. So what he's saying is, in the end, if you come back, then I lied. But if you don't come back, I spoke the truth. And what happened then with Ahab was he was killed in battle. And in a random fashion, someone just fired an arrow, just in a general direction, and he hit him. Because he disguised himself, he didn't wear his royal robes that they could identify him as the king. So just a random arrow struck him, and he died in his own chariot later that same day that he went into battle. So it's two heavy stories, but I felt like sharing it because it's also a heavy matter in our lives. If we lend out our ears to people who do not speak the word of God, but we think that they do. So I think it's good for us to challenge ourselves to eat from everything that's available that God gives us. The good and the not so good, the not so tasty, but the healthy. Because if we're only eating, everybody knows what happens if you only eat pudding. And we can't have that. And on the other side, some of us are inclined only to hear the bad things. Some of us only hear the doomsday things. And we need to open our ears to hear the good that the Lord is speaking as well. Because Satan lies to us both ways around. If God does want to do something good for you and to you, Satan can come and distort that message in our heads and say, that's not the truth. You don't deserve any of this. And in another way, Satan can come to people who are inclined to only hear the good things to say that they are on the right track regardless of what they're doing. Just keep on what you're doing. God is pleased with you all the way, so you don't need to repent. You don't need to take action. Just go on being yourself and getting into trouble. Don't worry. Everything's going to be fine. So what's necessary is for us to start to be able to distinguish between the voice of the Lord and lying voices. But it is difficult. It is difficult for us to really know what God is saying. So, I'm going to say one or two things about false prophets, but then maybe a couple of things also on how we guard ourselves against it. Okay. So a couple of things to try to figure out. A couple of questions that we can ask when we do receive a word or a teaching or listening to a sermon from someone, but we're uncertain if this person is really speaking the words of the Lord. There's a couple of things that we can do to try and figure out if it's really from the Lord. And the one thing is, who's the master of the prophet? So, to whom is this prophet accountable to? And what one can see from the story of the king of Israel, those 400 prophets were most probably in his service, meaning that he was sustaining them. He was paying their bills. They were employed by the king. So they are prophesying to the good of the king. Where someone like Micaiah, who is completely independent, who is staying far away from the palace, he needs to be summoned. He always says bad things about the king and prophesies bad words. He's an independent guy. And one can see that he fears the Lord more than he fears the king. And he's willing to go into prison because the king wants to throw him into prison. He knows that his master is the Lord himself. So sometimes we can go and have a look and see, but these people that are saying these things, who are they really serving? Are they serving maybe themselves? Are they serving a big organization's vision? Because that's what happens many times. There's a big organization or a big church group, and these people are working for this church group, and now they need to say things that are in line with this group's vision. And if you say things that are out of line with this vision, you are going to get in trouble. So you have to think about that as well. Are people, at some point in ministry, not everybody in ministry has pure intentions. That's the truth. Not everybody in ministry is really there because they are serving God himself. Sometimes they're serving themselves. Sometimes they're serving other people. So is this prophet or someone who brings a word to you, is he enslaved to anyone? Or is it only enslaved to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings? And what is the source of the prophecy? Is it something that comes from the Lord? You can say that thus says the Lord, because that's actually the only thing that qualifies as prophecy. You see, if you bring a word that is from the Lord. Prophecy is nothing else, it's nothing other than bringing the word of God to someone else. So something from scripture to you, or some vision that God has provided to someone that aligns with scripture to you. So what's the source of the prophecy? Can it be traced to something, traced back to God's word? And then also, what is the consequence of the prophecy? If the prophecy is to be fulfilled, is it only going to be good? Is it only ever going to be good if this thing happens? Because if someone is prophesying and everything that he always says is only something good, you have to have a couple of questions. Because sometimes the consequence is going to be something that we perceive as negative, But in the long run, with the Lord, it's going to be positive, because that's what His Word says. Everything He works out to the good of those He loves. So yes, every word that comes from someone, a prophecy that comes from the Lord, from someone, by someone, yes, it will have a good effect. But a good effect by the definition of God. Not a good effect by our definition necessarily. There's a lot of things that has happened with me and Yanni in the last decade that we've been together, that has happened with our kids, that has happened with us, that was really, on face value, horrible. But we are better off after that. But we, if someone would have told us that this thing is going to happen, we would have said, no, this thing can't happen, man. I mean, we're God's children. These horrible things don't happen to God's children. So now I think what you're saying is false. But it did happen. And it did have good fruit. So it should be, is it only good news, or is it bad news too? And then another measure is, does it prove to be true? You should maybe, if you're listening to someone's sermons, or you know about someone and they say things, really go back and look if things that they have prophesied really came about. Because it's easy to forget if it was wrong. It's easy to remember if it was right, but it's very easy to forget if someone prophesied something and it didn't happen that way. Because it, you know, we'd rather just wipe that under the rug. There was someone that presented something on prayer a couple of years ago that I attended, and it was at the start of the COVID pandemic. And this guy was known for being someone who really, you know, people say that he prophesies accurately, and he preaches and he prays accurately and so forth. But a lot of things that he said in the session, I had question marks about. I'm like, oh, I don't think that's how God works, but you seem to be really convinced about this. And then it was, COVID had not come into Bloemfontein yet, but it was in KZN already. And then at that meeting, he just started praying and says that COVID will never touch Bloemfontein. It will not get in here. And he just started praying against it by just saying that it will not happen. But my question was, like, what if it does happen now? What happens to what you just said now? Because then you lied. Because you said it's not going to happen. And now it happens. So I think he just prophesied off the top of his head according to what he thinks is best, without spending time at the foot of Jesus to hear from him, is this COVID thing going to come? Because if you read Revelation, there's a lot of bad things that are still on their way. So if you just make the assumption that something bad, a famine and pestilence that comes, cannot be from God, then you are sounding like one of these Old Testament prophets that were false prophets. Because in the scriptures that we read, God says sword, and famine, and pestilence will come. And these 400 prophets said, no, this can't happen. So we have to test the words of what people are saying. And if they've been saying things for a while, but you see, it never happens. They make prophecies according to their own assumptions. They prophesy prophecies according to their own hearts. And sometimes there's even something like, in this case, a lying spirit coming to deceive 400 prophets in order to deceive the king. We can't really understand how those things work, but it could happen around us today as well. And then the last thing, is the prophet willing to die for the message that they bring? That's a big measure to know if someone is really serious about what they're saying. Are they serious about what they feel God is saying? Because that last question, is he willing to die? That is actually the question that we should use when we are about to give someone else a word. Because what you are doing is, you are in essence saying, God is saying this. This is what God is saying. But you could be wrong. So we need to go into that mindset of giving someone a word or a prophecy by saying, this should match what God says. And I should not be wrong. Sometimes we are wrong. But we should be certain of the things that we're saying, because we can easily, especially in the charismatic church, we can easily just shoot out a couple of things for people and say, this and that gonna happen. I have a friend who got completely messed up spiritually by this thing of people encouraging him to give words to other people, and he heard things and he just gave it to people and it didn't happen, and there are things on his own life that he was convinced this is how it's going to happen, and it did not turn out that way. In fact, it turned out the opposite, and he was down and out for years, could not understand what happened, because I think he was encouraged to prophesy and encouraged to give words, but I think many of those things were his own thoughts and his own interpretations of things that he had a certain level of certainty in, and then he gave it to people, but then in the end it proved not to be true, and he had to work through that. And he didn't destroy people's lives with the words that he said, but he was ashamed that what he said did not come true. And in my life I did the same thing. I think I've also told people things that did not happen, that was not true, but I was convinced. So I think we should, when we deal with prophecy, receiving prophecy and giving prophecy, take time and weigh it as best as we can. And after weighing it, before giving it to someone, also say, I might be wrong. I might be wrong in this, but this is what I believe God is saying. And then there are people who are really anointed by God to give prophecy. I think at Convergence, Marius and Gerda received a lot of encouragement from someone who prophesied very accurately about the two of them and about this congregation, and they've never met this guy. And they could hear, he has access to information that comes from the Lord, because they don't know him and he doesn't know them. So prophecy can be a massive blessing to someone, but we should really weigh prophecy and how we share it and how we receive it, that we don't hurt other people or even hurt ourselves. We can go to the next one, which ties in with this. This is something that's been in my mind for many years. People want to make rules and formulas for spiritual matters when God requires us to have faith. So what many times happen is people see something happening in our lives, they look into it and they say, if I apply my spiritual rules to this situation, I can see that it's a bad situation. And God wants good situations for us, so that means you are wrong. You sinned. That's why this happened. And some people really say that to people. They really say that when their children dies or get sick or there's really big trouble in their lives, they are swift and easy in the charismatic church specifically to go on and tell these people, you should repent, and if you repent, things are going to change. You'll see. So what you're actually saying to that person is, it's your fault. You did something that triggered this situation, so you need to repent. And where do they get that? They get that from the fact that because this situation is not looking good and God always wants things for our good, you must be wrong. That's not the reality in life. It's not the reality. It could be that you did make a mistake and that there is sin and that you should repent and it would change things. But it could also be that God is just allowing something in your life because he knows if he allows this, good fruit will come from it. He knows you're going to be closer to him. He knows that person is going to get saved because of your suffering, whatever the situation is. So we really like rules as people. We want rules, we want guidelines, not necessarily to stick to them, but we want to know how things work. We want to know if I put this in, then the machine should put that out. And that's how we want to go about it with God as well. If we read the Bible, we see X, Y, and Z, then we selectively ignore some passages that would have helped us to balance out this thing. So we ignore the passages about, in this life you will have trouble, but lo, I am with you. You ignore that passage to say, no, 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 the other passages are stronger and better. So I'm going to go with the other passages that goes about things are going to be good for me. So we should watch out for people who easily apply spiritual rules that they've created themselves. And watch out for ourselves that we don't go about creating spiritual rules and guidelines in our own lives and superimpose it into other people's lives. And say, if you follow these three steps, then that the result will be good for you. So there's a slide, I think it's the second to the last one, John. I'm back. Okay. So, how to guard ourselves against false prophets, false prophecies, and our own deceit is the first and foremost thing. Fear God, not man. Fear the Lord. Ask the Lord that you realize and get a revelation of the fear of him. Because if you fear God, you would weigh your words. You would weigh everybody else's words. You wouldn't give too much credit to other people's words. You would always know if this needs to get up onto this scale first. And if it doesn't weigh up there on that scale, I'm not going to listen to this. I'm not going to apply this in my life. Test any word given against the word of the Lord. So if God shows you something in prayer, or you receive a vision, or a dream, or someone prophesies, you should test that against the word of God. His written word that we have, that we can touch and read, test it against the word of God. And if it doesn't match, just put it to the side. Don't make much of it. Because that word has proven itself over and over and over and over again that it's true. And if something doesn't match the word of God, just throw it out. Pray about it personally. Take time. If someone is saying something to you, you are receiving something from God, you are hearing a sermon, this sermon that I'm preaching now, take that and what you've heard into prayer. Ask Lord, Heinz said this bunch of stuff, but he said I should weigh it, so I'm going to weigh it now. So go weigh everything that people present to you as the word of God. And seek God's peace. Ask him. It's an immense measure. We do not easily hear the word of God audibly. Some people have done so. Some people have heard the Lord speak to them audibly. But what we do have is we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, and he can give us peace in our hearts about the right situation. So we have access to his Spirit, and his Spirit can guide us in that. And especially in the cases where it's unclear, ask for the peace of God to be bestowed on you for a certain matter. And the second one, number five, ties in with this one. Listen to the uneasiness in your body. Me and Yanni had a day this week in which we just couldn't understand why we were so upset. We were just as if, I always say, it sounds as if you have a radio that's just tuned out. Is that white noise, that gray noise, you kind of like feel that uneasiness inside you. And we had it both for a day, and we're like, what's happening? Why are we feeling like this? And we started asking questions, and I'm like, I feel that I want to phone my whole family and hear if they are fine. It's that kind of a uneasiness that we have. And then later that day, or was it the next day?
That same day,
that evening.
Yes.
We prayed first and then we heard. Okay. We prayed after dinner, and then Yanni especially felt a bit relieved after we prayed. And then later that evening, we prayed for our family. We prayed for different people, and then we started praying for her side of the family specifically. And then later that day, we learned that her sister's father-in-law got diagnosed with cancer, with bone marrow, or like type of leukemia. So I think that was the uneasiness that we had. Something is wrong in the family. So those kind of physical, tangible, also spiritual uneasiness that we have is God's way of many times speaking to us. And then I have faith in God's nature and His promises. I really believe that God is good and that He is there for you, for your good, but according to His definition, not your definition of good. And that His promises are true. So we can go back when we have uncertain times about, we're uncertain about what God has said, go look up to His promises and know that He's going to keep them. Because it's in His word. He said, these are my promises, this is what I promise. And then you can many times find rest in that. And then be content in knowing, in not knowing the full picture. Be content with your own crayon drawing, the outlines that God has given you. Be content with that. Be content with the things that you're certain of is that things that God has provided to you. And don't try to go ahead of Him. It's not going to work. He's before you and behind you and in you and everywhere. You can't escape Him. So don't try to go and be God for yourself. Be content with what you know, and act on that which you know for now. There's a lady that says that she operates in the prophetic and the charismatic church for many years now and everything, but she finds is that she's discontent easily because the prophecies that had been provided earlier that has been fulfilled now, she's not valuing them, she's not viewing them, she's not appreciating them now. Why? Because she's looking at the prophecies that has been made for the future. So she's still wanting for those things to be fulfilled before she's happy. But she's forgotten what God had already done. So if we're content with what we have already received, we can have a peace about what's coming. And then we honor God because actually we're saying thank you for what He has done. We're saying thank you for that. Me and Yanni were praying earlier. We didn't know if we are going to have kids when we were married early. There were some obstacles to that, and now we have 3 kids. So now we can really look back and really be grateful for that thing. We have received kids from the Lord where we had uncertainty at some point if we are ever going to have kids, as an example. And then the last thing I'm closing with is stay in God's herd among sheep that seek to follow Jesus and not other sheep. And we'll speak about the herd next week. But we should surround ourselves with people that are also following Jesus. And close our ears for the guys who are following other sheep. Because they're going to tell us what their sheep he taught them. And they won't, we want to listen, and we're going to want to go down that path. So we should listen to Jesus himself and then also to the leaders that he has provided in our lives, the people who have walked this road longer than we than what we have walked. We should have those people in our lives, and we should honor them, but we should not worship them, and we should never substitute Christ with one of them. Never, never. If you are more psyched up about a person than about Jesus, then you need to stop. No person will ever, 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 ever satisfy you and your spiritual needs. Never. It's only Jesus. Okay, let's pray. Thank you, Father God, for your word, and we thank you for your life. And I pray that you would bring your word and your life into us. Would you please come and there where some of us have become stunted maybe or blunted, and we have not tasted your life and your interaction with us, I pray that you would blow into us by your Holy Spirit and come speak to us. Speak to us words that are alive and active, as you say in your word, that your word is like a double-edged sword. It's alive and active. Would you please, Father God, come and supply that working into our lives, the working of your Spirit in your word. And I pray for the words that I've spoken now, Father God, that you would filter it into every heart and every soul and every mind. And please filter that according to your word and let it land on fertile soil in all of our hearts, Father God. I pray for myself and everyone here that we would take your words, take it to our heart, weigh what people are saying to us, weigh what we are saying to ourselves, and weigh all the things that are provided us as spiritual content. And would you please take everything off the scale that shouldn't be there. And in this morning, Father God, if there's only one thing that each of us should take away, I pray that you would come and highlight that to us in our minds, that we can dwell on that, and that we can grow in that specific area, Father God. Pray for every one of us that might feel a little bit convicted if we have too easily given words, as I've done in the past as well, Father God. I pray that you would give us rest about that, and if action needs to be taken, that you would show that to us. And if in the past we have received words too easily without weighing them, Father God, as well, I pray that you would come and lift words from us that was never supposed to be on us, and let your truth remain. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus, and we thank you that we can be part of your herd, and we can just, or your flock, and we can just stick with you and know that you are there, and know that your voice is there, it's clear, and we have one another. So please guide us on our journey as you have done so in the past. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.